I would invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to the 78th Psalm. I know I've disappeared the last 2 weeks, not today. The 78th Psalm, and I want to read the first 7 verses. Psalm 78, 1 through 7. A Maskil of Asaph. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. He established a decree in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our ancestors to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and rise up and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. That the next generation may know. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z. Now I know my ABCs. Tell me what you think of me. I'm not sure I really mean that last part, but no. And I know there are variations. Now I know my ABCs. Won't you come and play with me? But traditions that we teach and that we're called upon to teach our children and others. Some we wouldn't even know about, some of the stories, were it not for obscure singers. Superior, it said, never gives up for dead when the winds of November blow early. And what song is that? Anyone? Thank you. The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And you know, sometimes we think, what are these things? That was just something made up for a song, right? But no. There was a ship, the Edmund Fitzgerald, that sank in Lake Superior, disappeared. Huge ship. But we wouldn't know that tradition or that story were it not for the obscure song. I mean, who would have ever heard of the Edmund Fitzgerald? Or what about other things that we teach, traditions, and not just songs about the alphabet or stories about ships that sink? My grandfather, Doc, is what we called him, because when I was little and he'd come walking in and I loved Bugs Bunny and I'd go, "Hey, what's up, Doc?" And so it stuck. Doc took me hunting and fishing. Doc always knew where the fish were when nobody else did, what farm pond or what stream had fish. And we would come back with stringers full of fish. I remember one time he told me about sharing, because we came back, we'd been fishing with another fella and came back with a whole stringer full of fish. And Doc said, after we took the pictures at his house, he said, "Now, we're going to clean these and we're going to give him half of them to take home to his family." And I said, "But he didn't catch but 3. I caught the rest of them." And Doc said, "But that's okay. We have plenty. You need to share." Or Doc, who taught me the rules, certain rules of hunting. 1, you don't shoot at anything without knowing what it is and what's behind it. 2, you don't shoot at anything that is out of season. And 3, if you're going to shoot it, you need to use it. Ate many a squirrel and rabbit and dove and quail and deer and all kinds of other things. Traditions. Traditions and lessons that we pass on. And I'm sure that if we were to open this up to have you share just one tradition or one lesson that you remember from your parents or your grandparents or a teacher, a mentor, or maybe even something that a child said and you said, that makes more sense than what I thought. We would be here probably for hours. some of the stories being humorous and others sad. But really, that's what we are to do, is pass on the traditions, the stories, so that our children and our children's children and even beyond may come to know the lessons. Not all of them religious lessons, certainly, but the lessons of living, and hopefully the lessons of proper living. And that's what the psalmist reminds his hearers of in this particular psalm or song. This is a teaching psalm, a didactic psalm, that is actually meant to be chanted or sung, as many of the psalms are, and is meant to teach the history and the traditions of Israel and of God's interaction with those whom God calls. It's meant to teach the religious lessons of following God and remaining loyal to God. And we only read a short portion of it. If we read the entire psalm, we would find that not everything is wonderful and glorious and all fuzzy and neat in this psalm. But then again, the lives of the Israelites had not always been nice and warm and fuzzy and neat. And much of that because they had brought it about on themselves, the bad things. Yet these lessons are also to show how God has been working in and through Israel's history. His song is done in such a fashion that the hearers wouldn't forget it. And the lessons, as they would repeat them and sing and chant this psalm over and over again, the lessons would not be forgotten. The psalmist's purpose is to instruct both in the steadfastness of God and the disobedience and ingratitude of the people. And then to follow that up with reminders to come back to God, to not only be teachable, but then to teach those traditions and those lessons to their children. But his concern is more than just the present generation, as I've said. They must remember the traditions for their own living, just as we must remember the traditions for our living. New parents sometimes don't necessarily want to listen to the advice of older parents, and yet sometimes that comes in very handy, right? I've always been amazed, well, not always, because I didn't always think this, but for years I've been amazed at how much older I get, the smarter my parents really are about a lot of things. But the traditions here were for their present living. And yet, as the people found that those traditions and those teachings worked, they were called upon to teach them to their children and their grandchildren. Now, it's not our place to force them to live by those rules and regulations, although sometimes we'd like to, and sometimes we may try to. It is our responsibility, and the psalmist says here, it is the responsibility of the children of God to teach, to teach, to teach, to teach. And hopefully the children will pick up on the lessons and will continue to pass them along. Lessons that include the goodness of God. Lessons that include the steadfastness of God's love. Lessons that include that when things don't go well and when you make mistakes, if you are sincere, you can come back to God and receive forgiveness. Therefore, if God is willing to forgive, so too are we supposed to be willing to forgive. Even stories that are not that easy to hear can be used to teach the next generations. You know, among the signs at Jonestown, and we've mentioned this before, and there was a good documentary that was on week before last about cults on the History Channel. Spent an hour out of the 2 hours dealing with Jim Jones and Jonestown. But among the signs hanging at Jonestown in Guyana was one that said, those who forget history are destined to repeat it. Those who forget history are destined to repeat it. And unfortunately, a lot of times that's true, not just in the good things, but in the difficulties and the sins. Because sometimes we don't want to talk about those things with our children or our grandchildren so that they can learn. They need to be told even the warts. Among the most important facts of Hebrew life referred to here is the importance of testimony and law. Testimony and law. These are both important in understanding history and in understanding true living. The psalmist includes two great items here in this brief passage, and it continues throughout this particular psalm. First of all, in going back to their origins, Israel always found God as both creator and lawgiver. We need to remember when we go back in our origins, we will find that God is always there as creator and as lawgiver. And secondly, the law is not established, and the law of Moses was not established, and the Ten Commandments were not established, and other rules and regulations were not established to make the lawgiver happy. The law is not established by God to make God happy, but to give people a pattern of continuity for what is proper and for what is right in living. God didn't put the law out there, the commandments, the covenant codes in chapters 21 and following of Exodus, or other covenant codes throughout the Bible. God didn't put them out there so that God would feel warm and fuzzy and nice. God gives them so that we can avoid some of the pitfalls in life and so that we can know what is proper and what is within the realm of living as a child of God. Life was not to be happenstance or improvisation, though sometimes we do have to improvise. Life is not to be total improvisation, but it is to be based in a pattern which God gave as a protection against our failures, as well as a guide for successes. Maybe not successes as the world sees. Perhaps we should have, some folks should have followed more of those patterns in business dealings, and we would not all be worried, not just about whether we're going to find gas for the car, but what's happening with the banks and everything else. And it's taken us a while, but it seems to me some folks forgot the history of the Depression and other things as well. And so these are to help us to see not just failures, but how to live properly. People might turn from the law and forget it, but it still continues. And the people are to continue, you and me and others, we're to continue to tell it and teach it. And we talked last week about being teachable. And we have to be teachable before we can share it with others. And we have to be open before we can share it. And we have to remember that it is incumbent upon us to teach those things, even though they might not always be fun and neat, so that the next generation and the next generation and the next generation may know and learn and hopefully not repeat some of our mistakes. From father to children, the next generation to the unborn children and their children, the psalmist says. All of these things should be taught and kept alive that the generations may know God. And the intent was to be accomplished in two ways. First of all, setting their hope in God. Toward the end of the passage we read, it talks about that hope in God. The long view. And keeping the commandments, an immediate and ever-present obligation. Those are the two things we're trying to accomplish, according to the psalmist. To set our hope in God, the long view, recognizing that there is something in the immediate, the present, that we must do as an obligation, and that is keep the commands of God and keep that relationship. Both are necessary for progress and for societal life. You find things all kinds of places. Somebody gave me not too long ago a Starbucks gift card. I generally don't drink Starbucks unless I've got a gift card. I'm frugal. Thank you. But on that Starbucks cup, there was a quote from Colin Powell. And I copied it down before I tossed the cup. And I quote, "All children need a laptop." Now before you think, "Oh, I work for Circuit City and that's good." No. All children need a laptop. Not a computer, but a human laptop. Moms, dads, grannies, grandpas, aunts, uncles, someone to hold them, read to them, teach them. Loved ones who will embrace them and pass on the experience, rituals, and knowledge of 100 previous generations. Loved ones who will pass to the next generation their expectations of them, their hopes, and their dreams. And when I'd read that 3 or 4 weeks ago, I said, "Hey, I know exactly where that's going." Because is that not what the psalmist is saying? That all children need laptops in which to sit and to hear the stories and to hear the teachings and to hear the expectations, not just the hopes, but the expectations for proper living. Our call today is the same as it was in Hebrew life at the time the psalmist wrote and even before. We are not only to be teachable ourselves and repent of our own sins, but we are to teach young people, children, adolescents who don't ever want to grow up, even when we might be 50 or 60 years old, and others about God, about God's expectations of us, those responsibilities we have, and about God's desire for us so that they will all know how to know God and how to relate to God. You can read all kinds of reports these days about how few people, even in the United States, even in the Bible Belt, how few people regularly read the Bible, how few people know the stories of the Bible, how they mix them up, and how few can name all 4 Gospels that are in the Bible, the canon. We need to be teaching regularly, without apology, our children and our children's children and our friends. That doesn't mean that we only tell the good, but the testimony of those who have not been steadfast in keeping the expectations of God can sometimes lead to others keeping them. In order that the next generation should not be like their ancestors, the text continues in verse 8, they should be taught. Or so that they may be like their ancestors, the ones who have been steadfast in their love of God, who are faithful to the traditions, the testimony. And these things must be spoken. We must teach what we do and why we do it, even in church, in Bible study at home. Why do we do what we do? Why do we gather together? That's as important as teaching that we gather together for Bible study, for singing, for praying, for worship. So that the next generation may know. So that the next generation may do. And so that the children, even unborn, can come to know what is proper, what is good, and who is God. May we pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be faithful. Faithful in our own teachability. And then faithful in telling the stories and the traditions so that our children, our grandchildren, and the generations beyond may come to know You and to share Your grace with the rest of the world. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 602, I've Decided to Follow Jesus. As we sing this, our altar is open for any decision that you might make, whether that would be a first-time public decision to accept Christ as Lord and Savior, whether you would choose to join with this fellowship to worship and minister in this place and from this place, or whether it would be a recommitment to telling the next generation so that they may know the good things that can come out of even the difficult circumstances if we will be loyal to God. Number 602.